Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday. This is Venus Unplugged, your virtual Heartbreak Hotel, and Lorraine Neidhart is your host. And today, I am going to begin to tell the tale of Psyche's tale, Amor and Psyche, or Cupid and Psyche, depending on how you want to look at it. And this tale is an ancient tale, and it is a tale, it's a teaching of the feminine, the development of the psychological feminine, okay? So the way this tale begins, all right, this is, you've heard me say Psyche, and you've heard me say Aphrodite, and this is a story of Aphrodite and Psyche and Amor, who's also Eros, the god of relatedness, the god of love, all right? And what mythology does is it gives us the ancient text and foundation of psychological truths in a mythological form or in metaphor. So the psyche's logic is different than our intellectual logic. It twists and it turns and it means things. And we need to approach this, and this is why they're told in stories, because when once we say once upon a time, most people open up to imagination and they don't really care whether it's true or not. They just know it's once upon a time. So then once upon a time is like the open sesame to imagination. So this story, it's going to take a couple of episodes here to handle it completely and well and interestingly. And so today we start with this teaching story of the birth of the feminine psychology or feminine nature. So once upon a time, there lived a king and a queen who had three beautiful daughters. And they were so beautiful that it was impossible to describe them. Okay. And the two older daughters were very, very beautiful. But the youngest one, people were just speechless when they saw her. They could not find words for her beauty. So every day, thousands of her father's subjects came to gaze at her, and foreigners came to gaze at Psyche, and they were so dumbfounded by the sight of her that they paid homage to the goddess Venus alone. They pressed their right thumbs and their forefingers together reverently, and they raised their lips and blew kisses towards Psyche. And the news of her matchless beauty spread throughout the neighboring cities and countries. Some reported, "Immortal Venus, born from the deep blue sea and risen to heaven from its form, has descended upon earth and is now incarnate as a mortal at whom everyone is allowed to gaze." That's not good news. All right. Now, right there, it tells us, there's a little hint. You know, that's a wonderful thing about mythology. You go over it again and again, and you get hints. And also, this very often, this starts activating dreaming in people. Because when Psyche hears her story, she wants to give you some commentary, personal commentary. Okay, so here's this immortal Venus. And remember, weeks ago when I talked about the birth of Venus and that she was born from the sea, from her castrated father and from the genitals and the sea of the foam. And so here, understand that Venus, the archetype, is the great primordial mother. She's a force. She's a primordial energy. She's like a tidal wave, a tsunami, okay? Where Psyche, they say, was born from a dewdrop. It's a little different energy, okay? So that's the dewdrop is Psyche, is our personal psyche, what lives in the unconscious. But it is not the archetypal force or the archetypal pattern of Venus. Okay, so this is a little discernment here. So now people, humans, have switched worshiping this primordial force and projected it onto this young girl. So we see that happen all the time in our society. Look at what happened to Marilyn Monroe. They still won't let her rest. So everyone starts, they gaze upon her, so others, and in no time, okay, not in the sea, has been impregnated by a heavenly emanation that's born of the new goddess of love. The new goddess of love, which is not cool. All the more beautiful because she is still a virgin. The princess's fame was carried further and farther to distant provinces and still more distant ones. And people made long pilgrimages over land and sea to witness the greatest wonder of their age. As a result, nobody took the trouble to visit Venus's shrines and in her island, okay, at Paphos, or even of the island of Cynthia, where her lovely foot once touched dry land, and festivals, her Venus's festivals were neglected, her rites discontinued, the cushions on which her statues had been propped at her sacred temple feasts were kicked away to the floor, the statues themselves were left without their usual garlands, and her altar was unswept and cluttered with the foul remains of the old burnt offerings, and her temples were allowed to fall into ruin. So we also have to look at when we do that to ourselves. We don't honor ourselves. We need to keep, you know, this also has to do with levels. We need to keep levels upon levels. This is why it's dangerous when even in a joke, when people say, oh, they are a goddess or they represent a goddess. It's like, nah, I wouldn't be doing that. And the reason I wouldn't be doing that is because we cannot be that primordial energy. We can carry psyche. But you don't want to be pissing off Aphrodite, because this is going to be a story of also her. Her, what happens, her rage, her primordial rage. So she's not all sweetness and light, that's for sure, which is what makes her so profoundly dynamic, okay? So when the young princess Psyche went out on her morning walks through the streets, the people offered her honor, sacred feasts spread at her feet, flowers scattered in her path, and rose gardens, rose garlands presented to her in an adoring crowd, which were addressed to the titles of the new great goddess of love herself. This extraordinary transfer of divine honors to a mortal naturally angered the true Venus. That's what I mean. We give honor to on its rightful level, and we don't cross levels. This is a very important hint. I'm going to be giving hints. And then we'll go over the hints in a couple of weeks. Or who knows, I may reveal them today. So Venus, the goddess, is unable to suppress her feelings. She shook her head menacingly and said to herself, really now, whoever would have thought that I be treated like this? I, all the world's lovely Venus, whom the philosophers called the universal mother and the original source of all five elements. The original source of all five elements. That's pretty profound. So I am expected to share my sovereignty with a mortal who goes about pretending to be myself. Meanwhile, Psyche hasn't said a word. She's in shock. And to watch my bright name, which is registered in heaven, being dragged through the dirt and the mud of earth. Oh, yes, I must be content, of course, with the reflection of glory of worship paid to this girl, grateful for a share of the sacrifices offered to her instead of to me. All right, so she's fuming. It meant nothing, I suppose, when the shepherd Paris, which is the whole story of the Trojan War, and that was one of Venus's ruse, it meant nothing, I suppose, when the shepherd Paris, who just an honest verdict Jupiter himself confirmed, awarded me the apple of beauty over the head of my two goddess rivals. No, it's quite absurd. I can't let this silly creature, whoever she may be, usurp my glory any longer. I'll very soon make her sick and sorry about her good looks. They are dead against the rules. All right, so we got rules, people. Ladies, gentlemen, you know, Aphrodite has rules. And everybody just thinks she's sweetness and light. And heaven knows, this is going to show she's not. She at once called her winged son Eros, also known as Cupid, this very wicked boy with neither manners nor respect for the decencies, who spends his time running from building to building all night long with his torches and his arrows and breaking up respectable homes. Somehow, he never gets punished for all the harm he does, though he never seems to do anything good in compensation. Venus knew that he was naturally bent on mischief, but she tempted him to still worse behavior by bringing him to the city where the princess lived. Her name, by the name, was Psyche. And telling him the whole story of the new cult that had grown around her. You know, we can't usurp archetypal energies. We can't take them as our own. And we do innocently, but then we pay consciously. We suffer once again because we're mixing levels. We're taking, it's a form of inflation to say, I am the Aphrodite. Mm-mm. That's going to cost us big time. We see it a lot in Hollywood, movie stars' lives. Sometimes they just overdo it, politicalize people in power. They get in trouble. It takes a long time, but eventually gets in trouble. So Aphrodite calls on her son, her wicked son Eros, filled with mischief. He has no respect for, you know, dominions and rules and regulations and commandments because he's Eros. And so she is groaning with indignation, and she says, I implore you, darling, as you love your mother, to use your dear little arrows and that sweet torch of yours against this imprudent girl. If you have any respect for me, you'll give me my revenge. Revenge in full. You'll see that princess falls desperately in love with some perfect outcast of a man. Someone who has lost rank, fortune, everything. Well, haven't we all fallen in love with somebody like that? We've all got one of those in our history. In our history of life. The beloved, okay. Someone who goes about in terror of his life and in such complete degradation that nobody viler can be found in the whole world. Okay, we've all lamented, why do I love that addict? What, I love that person. They're so vile. They destroy love. They don't love me back. Well, maybe we got to ask, where did we offend Aphrodite? Okay. Or, even better, as the plot thickens, what is occurring? What's about ready to happen? Because very often when we fall in love with the vilest of men, there is a great teaching going on in that. So she kisses Eros long and tenderly and then went to the nearby seashore where she was born, where she ran along the tops of the waves and they danced and foaming towards her. Remember, all the sea travels with Aphrodite. And at the touch of her rosy feet, the whole sea suddenly calmed, and she had no sooner willed the powers of the deep to appear than up bobbed all the sea shouted their names. Okay. Neptune arrived, sometimes with his bluish beard and his wife, and the naughty goddess of the deep sea with a lap full of fish and with these wonderful aphrodisiacs and a chariot and a riding on a dolphin. After these troops came, Trintos, swimming about in all directions, one blowing softly on the cockshell, and another protecting Venus from the sunburn, I love that image, with a silk parasol and third holding a mirror for her to admire herself. But remember, Aphrodite's mirror shows the shadow, okay? And then there was a whole team, and they harnessed her beautiful half shell. Remember Botticelli on a half shell? This is that image, okay? And when Venus goes for an ocean cruise, she's attended by quite an army of retainers. Meanwhile, Psyche gets no satisfaction at all from the honors she's paid. Everyone stares at her. Everyone praises her. But no commoner, no prince, no king even, dared to make love to her. All wondered at her beauty, but only as they might have wondered at the exquisite statue. Both her less beautiful sisters, whose reputations were not so great, had been courted by kings and successfully married to them. But Psyche remained single. You know, there's a lot to say about the dangers of perfection. Sometimes we can get so involved in wanting to be perfect that we become inhuman, and people just look at us and can't relate, okay? So here, poor virginal Psyche, she stays at home feeling very miserable and rather ill and begins to hate the beauty which everyone else adores. This also talks about projection, all right? That this is also a teaching on projection. People will project something so beautiful on the other, but then are so terrified to approach them as a human. That will happen. I've heard it a million times in sessions. It's like, well, why didn't you go for the, you know, why didn't you marry the one you really loved? Oh, she was so beautiful. She would have never had me. But you never spoke to her. How'd that happen? That happens all the time. Or we'll build up such a powerful projection of beauty that in order to come back to our senses, we then have to kill the person, with them being evil and awful and terrible and destroying your consciousness, okay? So this is very interesting what Psyche begins to experience. And her poor father feared that the gods might be angry with him for not allowing his subjects to make so much of her. Which is, okay, that's inflation, and he knew, he's the old king. It's interesting, there's really no talk of the mother. So that's a hint, too. Like, where's Psyche's mother? Why isn't she jumping in? But she's kind of, which very often happens in myths and fairy tales, either the father is missing, which is the father principle, or the mother is missing. And in Psyche, she ain't got no mama. Her poor father, oh, God, he was a mess. So he decided to go to the ancient oracle of Apollo and said the usual prayers and the sacrifices and asked where he was to find a husband for his daughter who nobody wanted to marry. Apollo, through the Ionian Greek and the true founder of Greece, ancient Greece, chose to deliver the following oracle in Latin. On some high mountain's craggy summit place, the virgin, decked for deadly nuptial rites, nor hope a son-in-law of mortal birth, but a dire mistress, viperous and fierce, who flies through ether and with fire and sword, tires and debilitates all things that are, terrific to the powers that reign on high. Great Jupiter himself fears this winged pest, and streams and shades the power abhor. The king, who until now had been a happy man, well, that blew that one, came slowly back from the oracle feeling thoroughly depressed and told his queen what an unfavorable answer he had gotten. They spent several miserable days brooding over their daughter's fate and weeping all the while. But time passed, and the cruel oracle had to be obeyed. Which is another little hint. Don't ask the oracle unless you're willing to live out what it says. Do what it says. Otherwise, it just brings great trouble. Okay, and we all do that. We want to know, and then we find out, but we want to change it. So the hour comes when there's a procession formed and Psyche's dreadful wedding. So this is the death and the wedding. And the torches chosen, ones that were burnt low and sooty and spluttering of flame, instead of the happy wedding march, the flutes played a lament. The marriage chant ended with a funeral howls, and the poor bride wept tears from her eyes with the corner of the flame-colored veil. Interesting, a red veil. She was wearing a red veil. I never even noticed that. Okay. There's a hint. Everyone turns out, groaning sympathetically at the calamity that has overtaken the royal house, and a day of public mourning was at once proclaimed. But there was no help for it. Apollo's oracle had to be obeyed. So when the preliminaries of this hateful ceremony had been completed in deep grief, the bridal procession moved off, followed by the entire city, and at the head of it walked Psyche with the air of a woman going to her grave, not to her bridal bed. Her parents, overcome with grief and horror, tried to delay things by holding up the procession, but Psyche herself opposed them. Poor father, poor mother. She was so sweet, such a sweet-natured being, this little dewdrop. Why torment yourselves by prolonging your grief unnecessarily? You are old enough to know better. Why increase my distress by crying and shrinking yourselves, horse? Why spoil the faces that I love best in the world by crying your eyes sore and pulling out your beautiful white hairs? Why beat your breast until my own heart aches again? So we're getting a sense of her deeply related nature, deeply human. She's about ready to get murdered by some wild beast, and she cares. She doesn't want those she loves to suffer. Now too late, you at last see the reward of my beauty has earned you, the curse of divine jealousy for the extravagant honors paid me. When the people all over the world celebrated me as the new Venus and offered me sacrifice, then was the time for you to grieve and weep, though I was already dead. I see now. So she's getting an insight. There's some consciousness here. I see now that it was clearly as it was in daylight, that the cause of all my misery is this blasphemous use of the goddess's name. So lead me up to the rock of the oracle. I'm looking forward to my lucky bridal night and my marvelous husband. The vilest of men, okay? Why should I hesitate? Why should I shrink from him, even if he has been born for destruction of the world? So she's already showing some serious character. She knows what the issues are. She's very clear. She pissed Venus off. Actually, she didn't. She didn't want that. But the culture did by naming her the new Venus. She knew in her virginal way not to do that. But even the king and the queen didn't know. Okay. She walks forward, and the crowds follow her up to the rock and to the top of the hill where they leave her. They return to the homes in deep dejection, extinguishing the wedding torches and their tears and throwing them away. Oh, my God, it's 92nd. Her broken-hearted parents shut themselves up in their palace behind closed doors and heaven windows. Psyche was left alone, weeping and trembling at the very top of the hill until a friendly west wind suddenly sprang, and it played with her, and gradually swelling up her skirts and veil and cloak unto it, lifted her into the ground, and carried her slowly down into the valley. I got 60 seconds. And at the foot of the hill, where she found herself gently laid on the bed of the soft turf and stars and flowers. All right. Okay. Venus Unplugged, Facebook. Okay. Lorraine Neidhart, come for a session. Venus Unplugged on Facebook. Like it and spread it around. And we have more next week. It looks like we're going to have a couple of weeks here. This is all very exciting. So you can also read, in the meantime, read She by Robert Johnson, which is going to give a little bit of a different interpretation, but so you have a sense. So Psyche is left. She's brought into this other kingdom. So now her journey of being married to the god Eros begins. Have a beloved day. Bye.